Chapter 3. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last number of weeks. And, you know, we're just coming up to Pentecost. This Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And when we come to Pentecost Sunday, really what we're doing is we're celebrating the birth of the church, because the church was born on Pentecost when God sent the Holy Spirit for the very first time. And those 120 believers were baptized in the Holy Ghost in that upper room. And then out from there, that God began to grow the church. And so this Sunday, and we're going to celebrate Pentecost this Sunday. But so we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last number of weeks. This is lesson number 4. But in lesson number 1, we talked about the Holy Spirit in creation. In lesson 2, we talked about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, and this week we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer as we prepare ourselves for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because that's what we're believing God for. And then after we do that, we're going to start believing God that we're going to see the gifts of the Holy Ghost manifest in the church. And you know, the Apostle Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in the last verse, I believe it's verse 31, but he says that we should... that we should earnestly desire the greater gifts. And you know, it's amazing, because we're supposed to earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and yet we don't even know so much about the Holy Spirit. And that's why the reason why we're doing this, that's why we're studying this. And so we want to know who the Holy Spirit is, but we want to see the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation, in operation in our lives. And you know, there's a gift of the Spirit for each and every one of us, that God has a gift for us by his Holy Spirit, that he will allow us to minister on his behalf, if you like. And so that's what we're going to be looking at for the next number of weeks. Last week, as I said, we talked about the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, and we're just going to touch on that again tonight, and we're going to go forward as we talk about the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, or the plan that God has for the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. If you look with me here in Matthew chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight." And it tells us here in verse 3 that John the Baptist's ministry was to prepare the way of the Lord. Or John the Baptist, really what he done was he came to introduce Jesus and to make straight the paths for him. And so John's ministry was to introduce Jesus and to prepare the way, if you like, for him. But look what he says down here in verse 11, speaking of Jesus. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And you know, John here speaking about Jesus, and he says about himself, firstly, he says, "I came to baptize you with water, but there's someone coming mightier than I, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And you know what's amazing about that statement is there's so much of the church that's opposed to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yet when John came to introduce Jesus to us, when John came to prepare the way for Jesus, what was the one thing that he said? He says, when Jesus comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And yet that's the one thing that you see so many Christians, so many believers fighting against today, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. And so he says here that Jesus was going to come and he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The difference between Jesus and everyone that came before him, if you like, all the Old Testament prophets and so on, was that Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so Jesus' main ministry was the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And that's mentioned in the 4 Gospels. You know, some of the different miracles that Jesus did, they're mentioned in 2 Gospels or they're mentioned in 3 Gospels. But you know, the fact that Jesus came to baptize in the Holy Spirit was mentioned in the 4 Gospels. That means we're supposed to take notice of it. And if he came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, then we need to believe God for the Holy Spirit. And we talked about last week, we talked about really the sole source of power in Jesus' life and ministry was the Holy Spirit. And we talked about for the very first 30 years of Jesus' life, we read nothing about him, nothing spectacular, except that time that he got lost. But we don't read that he done any miracles. We don't read that he went anywhere preaching. We don't read that he raised anyone from the dead. Do you know why? Because he didn't do it. And yet we read last week that Jesus, when he came down to the Jordan River where he was baptized by John, it says when he was baptized that the Holy Spirit came on him. It says the Holy Spirit then drove him up into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. And then it says he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit, he stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor," and so on and so on. And so Jesus wasn't anointed for service until he was baptized, if you like, in the Holy Spirit. And we spent that whole lesson last week. If you missed it, you need to get the CD or the DVD or whatever. But he spent his whole ministry, and we looked at all the different times where Jesus done something, and the scripture says he done it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we made the observation last week, how many of you know if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, then we need the Holy Spirit, unless we're greater than him. Because if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, then we need the Holy Spirit. But John tells us that Jesus' ministry here was that he was going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Look with me in Acts chapter 10. So Jesus never performed a miracle until the Holy Spirit came on him. And in Acts chapter 10 here, in verse 38, Peter here was speaking to the crowds that had gathered at the house of Cornelius, and he describes Jesus' ministry. But look what he says here in verse 38. He says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil." God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so we see here that the source of Jesus' power for ministry was what? The Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit anointing, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And then he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. In this verse here, we see all three members of the Godhead represented. God the Father anointed God the Son with the Holy Spirit. And so here's something that the three members of the Godhead were doing together. God the Father anointed God the Son with God the Holy Spirit. And you know what was amazing about that? Because when God the Father anointed God the Son with the Holy Spirit, do you know what the outcome of that was? Healing. It says, God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing. Isn't that amazing? When we see the three members of the Godhead working together, the end result was healing. Jesus went about healing because God the Father was with him and God the Holy Spirit was with him, and so he went and healed. It's amazing because there's so many churches today don't believe in healing, but yet, that's what happened. The secret, and we said the source of Jesus' ministry was the Holy Spirit. You know, even after the resurrection, Jesus still depended on the Holy Spirit. And that's interesting too. Look back with me here in Acts chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 here, beginning in verse 1. It says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." And Luke here is writing about these last 40 days of Jesus' ministry before Jesus returned to heaven. These were the last 40 days, the 40 days from the resurrection to the ascension. Jesus was with his disciples for 40 days. But it says here that he, Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, gave them commandments. And so even after his resurrection, the Holy Ghost was still empowering him to minister. Isn't that amazing? And everything that we see Jesus doing, he done it under the anointing and he done it under the power of the Holy Spirit. And how much more do we need it? Who are just mere flesh. If Jesus needed it, we need it. Jesus is our pattern for total dependence on the Holy Spirit. He relied on the power of the Holy Spirit for his teaching and for his miracles and for his ministry. And you know, he did nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. He did nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that last week. We showed you all the different places. You remember when he cast out the devils? He said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. And so everything he did it through the Spirit of God. And if Jesus needed to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, then so do we. Look with me in John chapter 7. You know, Jesus moved in or flowed in the power of the Holy Spirit throughout his ministry. But you know, he also promised his disciples that they would receive the same Holy Spirit and that they also would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That was one of the promises that he gave. Look with me in John chapter 7, and we'll read here from verse 37. John chapter 7 and verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here's a real stark contrast, or a real vivid contrast, if you like. Because firstly, he says, if any man thirst, and he talks about a man who is thirsty. And he said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. But he says, once you drink, he says, rivers of living water will flow out of you. And so he makes the contrast. He says, you've got to come thirsty. But if you come thirsty, you're empty, if you like. But he says, when you drink, you will receive a supply. And so not alone then are you looking for something to be imparted to you, but you're the one now who's imparting. And you see, here's the contrast, because you come thirsty, but when you come thirsty and you receive, God imparts something to you, and now instead of having a need, you're the one who's doing a supply, and because out of your belly, the Bible says, will flow rivers of living water. The first time the man comes thirsty and without sufficiency, but he becomes a channel for the Holy Spirit to flow through. Becomes a channel for the Holy Spirit to flow through. He's no longer in need, but becomes a source of supply through the Holy Spirit. For every believer, then, the Holy Spirit becomes a limitless resource. This promise was given during Jesus' earthly ministry, where he told these guys, he said, you know, this spake he of the Holy Spirit. He says, who wasn't yet given, because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. And so this promise was, for them, it was for a future date. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want you to bear this in mind. It says that the Holy Spirit wasn't yet given because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. And we're going to talk about Jesus' glorification in a minute, because the Spirit was given once Jesus was glorified and not before it. Look with me here in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, beginning here in verse 15. He says, if you love me, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. The first thing Jesus said here about the Father is he said that the Father is going to give us another comforter. And when he uses this word another, and we talked about this already, the word another here means another of the same kind. And so what God was saying here, what Jesus was saying is, Jesus came and he spent 3.5 years with the disciples. And he says, you know, when I leave, I'm here with you in person. And he said, I've been with you for 3.5 years. But when I leave, God is going to send another like me or another person. I'm a person. I'm here with you. I've been with you for 3.5 years. But he says, when I leave, God will send you another person. And this other person that he's going to send, he calls him here the Spirit of Truth. And then he says the world can't receive him because it knoweth him not, neither seeth him. And so therefore they can't receive him. And so he says here that he's going to send another comforter. Then he uses a particular word which is translated comforter. The word here is parakletos. And it means somebody who is called alongside to help. And you know, the Holy Spirit is called alongside us to help us in our Christian life. And so we have a helper that's available to us. And oftentimes in our Christian life, we find that there's things that are hard to deal with and that we struggle with, but yet we have a comforter, we have a parakletos, who the Bible says is called alongside us to help us. He's another person like Jesus. And so if we have this other person like Jesus, then we need to get the Holy Spirit to help us with the things that we're struggling with. That's what he's there for. That's his job. That's his ministry. He's our comforter. He's the person who is called alongside to help. And then Jesus says here about the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, this is in contrast with Jesus. Because Jesus didn't come to abide with them forever. He only abode with them 3.5 years. But he says of the Holy Spirit, he will be with you forever. Do you know what that means? It means the Holy Spirit won't ever leave. He's another person like Jesus. He's our comforter. He's our parakletos. He's called alongside to help us, and he'll never leave. Jesus had to leave. He had to go back to heaven, but the Holy Spirit never leaves. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And we need to understand that we have a comforter called the Holy Spirit, and he will never leave. Jesus said, I've been with you 3.5 years. I'm leaving now. I know your heart's broken. But there's another one like me coming. And he's never going to leave. He's going to be with you forever. He's called alongside to help you. Look with me here in verse 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. Has anybody got a different translation for that? I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. That's an interesting translation, isn't it? I will not leave you orphans. Do you know that means that if the Holy Spirit didn't come, we're orphans. But Jesus said, I won't leave you as orphans. He says, I'm going to send you another comforter, another one just like me. He's called alongside to help you. He's your comforter. And he will be with you forever. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. A little later, Jesus goes back to this theme again. Let's look at it in chapter 16. Look with me here in verse 7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. it is expedient for you that I go away. The word expedient there means beneficial. It means for your own good. He says it's for your own good that I'm going away. Why was it for our own good, per se, that Jesus went away? Well, we can look at a few things. Firstly, Jesus was limited to that area in Judea or in Galilee where he lived. He was limited. He was limited to the people he could touch. He was limited to the people that he could be with. And you know, if he was in Israel today, he's not here in person. Or if he was here, he's not in Africa. Or if he's in Africa, he's not in Australia. And so he was limited to where he could go. He was limited in the time that he spent here. But what he said was, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he said, he's with you now, but he will be in you. Now that was speaking about the day of Pentecost. But for each and every one of us, we have a comforter. We have somebody who's called alongside to help. He's the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead. And the scripture says he lives on the inside of us. And you see, we don't have to go looking for Jesus per se, because we have another comforter on the inside of us. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's called alongside us to help us. And he says here again, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you, it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So Jesus is going, but he's going to send another like him in his place. And Jesus talks about this one more time. Look in chapter 16 here, down in verse 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. You know, he said here, on these last few passages, he said that the Holy Spirit was another one just like him. Just the same way as Jesus is a person, the Holy Spirit is a person. But I want you to notice the emphasis here. Watch this. Look again in verse 13. It says, howbeit when he, and he uses the personal pronoun here, he, because the Holy Spirit is a person. So he uses the personal pronoun he. Now watch this. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. He says he a whole lot there, doesn't he? Because he's trying to communicate to us that the Holy Spirit is a person. 9 times in those 2 verses. 9 times in those 2 verses, he uses the personal pronoun he, because he wants us to know that the Spirit is a person. And he's here to help us. He says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand something. If we don't have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're missing out on something that God has given us. He has given us his Holy Spirit to come alongside us, to help us. And he said, not alone will he come alongside and help, but he will be in you. And we need to recognize who we are. We need to recognize that we are people with the Spirit of God on the inside of us. But the fact that we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, he wants to flow through us. He wants to flow out of us. He wants to minister to us. He wants to minister through us. And he wants to minister to other people. But how can that work if we don't understand it? If we don't understand what's going on? Since the promise was fulfilled, and as we said, it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, but since that promise was fulfilled, the Holy Spirit is now the personal, resident, representative of God on the earth. See, in the time of Jesus, Jesus was the personal, resident, representative of God on the earth. But Jesus went back. Now we have the personal representative of God on the earth is the Holy Spirit. And he's in us. From the day that we got born again, he's in us. But he wants to be in us in power. The Holy Spirit is the interpreter of the word. He's the revealer of the word. And he's the administrator of everything that the Father has. That's why Jesus said he will take of mine and he will show it unto you. He says all things that the Father has are mine. And he says the Holy Spirit will show them unto you. The Holy Spirit came to reveal them to us. He is the administrator of everything that God has for each and every one of us. Let's talk about what happened at Pentecost for a minute. You know, John the Baptist introduced Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Well, when did that take place? When did it take place? When did somebody for the very first time get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Then we said that the Holy Spirit was the source of power for the whole ministry and teaching of Jesus. Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus promised his disciples, he says, when I go back, I will send another comforter, another one just like me. He will be in you. He's called alongside to help you. So we want to look at this fulfillment of the promise. We want to examine what happened when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Let me ask you a question first, because this is where people get confused. And when I ask you this question, I want you to think about it, but I want you to listen as we explain the answer to this. How many times is the Spirit of God given in the life of a believer? How many times is the Spirit of God given in the life of a believer? See, most people will say once, but there's actually more than once. Most people will say once. But there's at least two, and I believe there's more than that as well. But there's at least two times the Spirit comes and dwells in a believer. And I want to show you that from the Scripture, because people get confused about this. And people think, when I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, I got all of the Spirit and I don't need any more. But that's not what the Scripture says. And you see, we need to understand this. Don't know if any of you here ever heard of one of the most famous Bible teachers in recent times was a man called Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was actually Reformed. He wasn't even Pentecostal. He was Reformed, which meant he didn't really believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost per se, although he did. He wasn't meant to. But he asked his congregation one day, and he said to his congregation, he said, let's say when you ask Jesus Christ, when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, you got all of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, well, for goodness sake, then where is he? See, if we got all of the Holy Spirit the day we got saved, then where is he? There's more. There's more of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I said there's not just two times that we receive the Holy Spirit, because the Apostle Paul talks about being continually filled with the Spirit. That's a topic for another day. Just want to talk about this one for tonight. And so how many times is the Holy Spirit given to us? And when are they? And I want to go back for a moment and I want to talk about the very first Easter Sunday, or the day of the resurrection. The day that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. What happened? Look with me in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. So we go back here to the very first Easter Sunday. The resurrection day. Look with me here in John chapter 20 and look at verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and they had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day in the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Now, the reason why he showed them his hands on his side was to show them that he was the same one who was crucified. And so he showed them the nails in his hands and his side to show them, I'm the same one that was crucified. I'm the same one that was raised from the dead this morning. And watch what he said. Verse 20 again. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. This was Resurrection Sunday. He came to his disciples. He showed them his hands and his side. And then he says, peace be unto you. He says, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. And then it says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. This was 50 days before Pentecost. This was 50 days before Pentecost. The Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out until 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. But here they are on Resurrection Sunday. And Jesus had his disciples together. And the scripture says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And so this was the first time that they received the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. Because as we talked about a few weeks ago, in the Old Testament, before Jesus was raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit came on people for service, but never came into people. But Jesus here breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. What happened to them? They received the Holy Spirit here. Well, why then did they have to go to the upper room? Because this wasn't the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus' ministry was, John said he was going to come and he was going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with power. But here he didn't baptize them in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And what actually happened here was, this was the first time that these disciples received New Testament salvation. You see, before this time and before Jesus died, there were many believers. But there were believers in the Old Testament sense. Because Jesus hadn't died yet. Jesus hadn't paid the price for their sins yet. And so there couldn't have been born again believers in the New Testament sense because Jesus hadn't died yet. And so here's Jesus, he died. He was raised again from the dead. He breathed the Holy Spirit on them and these men got born again on that first Resurrection Sunday. And this was the first time that they received New Testament salvation. Well, let me ask you a question. Does anyone tell me what New Testament salvation is? Come on, we should all know the verse. Romans 10, 9 and 10. What's it say? Yeah. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Well, go back one day before Resurrection Sunday. Could these disciples have believed that God raised him from the dead? Why not? Because he wasn't raised from the dead yet. And so they couldn't have received New Testament salvation until Jesus was raised from the dead and stood before them and said, do you believe? Yep, we believe. All right, now you're saved. They confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. Thomas called him my Lord and my God. They believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead and Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit on them and they were born again. And that was the very first time that people received the Holy Spirit. And the same is true of us. As soon as we acknowledge, as soon as we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, the Spirit of God enters us. But that's not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's salvation, New Testament salvation. Look with me in, go back with me to Genesis chapter 2 for a minute. You see, what happened to them here was they received the Holy Spirit for the first time. But as soon as they received the Holy Spirit, what happened to them was they became a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That was the first time they became a new creation, when God breathed his spirit into them. But I want to talk about a creation for a moment, because there's a parallel here. Let's go back to the first creation, Genesis chapter 2. I suppose I better turn there myself. Look with me in verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And so here was this man, this very first man, and he was just a little muddy man lying on the ground, and for all intents and purposes, he was dead. There was no life in him. Just a little muddy man that was after being made on the ground. And the Bible says here that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. The word breath is the word pneuma. It can stand for breath or it can stand for spirit. It can be translated either breath or spirit. And so God breathed into the man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, or he became alive. Well, how many of you know that the scripture says that we were all dead in Adam? Because after Adam sinned, that life that was on the inside of us went out. And the Bible says we were all dead in Adam. And all the way through the Old Testament, even though people were believers, they were still dead as far as the spirit was concerned. But after Jesus Christ raised from the dead, the very first thing that he did after his resurrection was he breathed the breath of life into them again. And they became born again. And so the first giving of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is so that we can be saved, so that we can be born again. And there's a direct parallel between us being born again and to Adam being created, if you like, in the first place. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Adam became a living soul. And when after the resurrection, Jesus breathed into his disciples the breath of life, and they became living creatures again, or spiritual creatures. New creation. Do you understand? So there's the parallel, if you like. In the new creation, Jesus is the resurrected Lord and Savior who has conquered sin, death, hell, and Satan. And having done all this, he appeared unto his disciples and he breathed into them the breath of resurrection life. And this was a new kind of life. This was a life that had defeated all the forces of evil and sin and death. And God breathed into his disciples now resurrection life. Do you understand? When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's what happened. It was breathed into us resurrection life. Through this experience, the disciples passed out of that old order into a new order, which is New Testament salvation. They passed from the old order into the new order. Look with me in Luke 24. Now it's important when we understand this, these disciples received the Holy Spirit this first Easter Sunday. But this wasn't the fulfillment of the promise where he said to them that he was going to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. This was a completely separate thing. Look with me in Luke chapter 24. Look with me in verse 49. He says here, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass when he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried them. He was carried up into heaven." And so this was 40 days later. 40 days later, Jesus was about to go into heaven. And before he went back to heaven, he says, "Now I want you to go into Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for the promise of the Father," which was the Holy Spirit. Well, why would he say that to them 40 days later, go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, if they already had already got it 40 days ago on Resurrection Sunday? And so there were two completely separate acts of God. Do you understand? There was the one that you receive when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. But there's another one. It's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we talked about it, and I didn't think about it tonight, but I told you here a few weeks ago, if you could imagine being filled with the Spirit or being baptized in the Spirit. And we talked about, if I got a jug and a glass, and I could take that jug and I could fill the glass, and that glass is filled with water. But baptism is a complete different thing. What is baptism? It's to submerge in something. The glass is full, but the glass is not submerged. But if I was to take the glass and drop it into the jug of water, then it's submerged. They're two completely different things. They're not the same thing. One is you fill the glass, but the glass is full, but it's not submerged. The other one is when you take the glass and you drop it into the jug and it becomes submerged or baptized in something. And so we receive the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two completely separate acts. And so Jesus here, 40 days after he had breathed on them to receive the Spirit, he says to them, now I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of my Father, because it hadn't been given yet. Look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This probably is the same story here, because this is the same time when Jesus went back to heaven. Look at verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Well, what had they got 40 days previous then? It wasn't the baptism in the Holy Ghost, because he said you're going to get it in a few days' time. Two completely different things. And so when we accept Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. But there's a separate experience. It's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Resurrection Sunday was not the fulfillment of the promise. And nearly all Bible scholars and theologians will tell you that the day of Pentecost was the fulfillment of the promise. So what they got on Resurrection Sunday wasn't the fulfillment of the promise. Look with me in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, this was the actual fulfillment of the promise. The Holy Spirit descended from heaven in person in the form of a mighty wind and filled each of them individually and gave every one of them a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit, which was speaking in tongues. This was the fulfillment of what Jesus said, the promise of the Father, and they spoke in a language that they never learned. At the end of this passage here, actually, Peter gives a theological explanation of what had taken place. Look down with me in chapter 2 here in verse 32. It says, this Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and here. Again, here, all the three persons of the Godhead are mentioned in this verse. Jesus the Son receives the Holy Spirit from the Father, and then he pours out that Holy Spirit on everybody who is waiting in the upper room. And here again, we see the three members of the Godhead in operation. It says here that Jesus was exalted to the right hand of the Father. Or one of the translations says he was glorified. Do you remember we read back in John chapter 7 and verse 37? It says that the Holy Spirit hadn't been given because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. You see, at the resurrection, Jesus wasn't glorified. He was just resurrected. But it was after he went back to heaven that he was glorified. And when he was glorified, he poured out the promise of the Father. And so what the disciples received on the day of the resurrection was the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so there are two separate acts. And so here we see two amazing Sundays, if you like, two amazing days. The first is Easter Sunday, where we have the resurrected Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the second is Pentecost Sunday, where we have the glorified Christ and the outpoured Spirit. And both are patterns for all believers, including us today. And we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to receive all that God has for us. And if you've been born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've received the Holy Spirit, but there's more. God wants to so fill our spirit with His Spirit that He empowers us for service. And that's what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in all Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus the Son, as a person, had gone back to the Father in heaven. And then the Father and the Son together sent the Holy Spirit, another person of the Trinity, to take the place of Jesus. And so where does the Holy Spirit live now? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Know you not that you yourselves are God's temple, and God's Spirit lives in you?" In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which you have received of God?" Now these are two amazing statements. That God, the Holy Spirit, dwells on the inside of us. But He doesn't just want to dwell on the inside of us. He wants to empower us. He wants to empower us to be the very best that we can be for Him. And if we haven't received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then we need to do it. Because if we don't, we're missing out on something that God has designed for us, that God has ordained for us. And one of the reasons why we're doing this, as we said, is we want people to get a grasp of who the Holy Spirit is and what His function is and what His ministry is in our lives. And one of the things that we talked about earlier is we need to be hungry for the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And you have to want it. You have to want the Holy Spirit. You have to want everything that God has for you. And if you want it, God says He'll give it to you. Jesus said, in John chapter 7 and verse 37, it says, "On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said, 'If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink.'" And then He says, "As the scripture has said, out of his very belly will flow rivers of living water." This spake He of the Holy Spirit. And so He wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit. But you know what? We need to be hungry for it. And that's what we're working towards. Pentecost Sunday is coming up, and we're going to give you an opportunity on Pentecost Sunday to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to receive that second work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I know a lot of us here have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but if you haven't received it, we're believing God. So be praying over the next few days. Be praying. Say, "Lord, make me hungry for the things of God. Make me hungry for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit." And then as we do that, we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to descend and to fill you with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.